Get him before he gets fired. Hey, what's going on? Mason and Ireland show. It's Friday afternoon. Sunny and hot. Good day to go out for a walk. By the way, John, so I'm out walking today, and I see a guy run by wearing a mask. Now, running, do you have to wear a mask?
No, I have to.
If you're out exercising.
You don't have to, but, I mean, some people do just to be safe. No, if you're asking me, is it required? No.
Because I do when I'm walking.
Yeah, like when I go play golf, I wear a mask in all the common areas.
Right.
And then when I get out to the golf course, I take it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Mask etiquette is very tricky now. Generally speaking, wear it. So Andrew Friedman there, always candid. We always get great stuff out of Andrew Friedman.
Yeah, and by the way, Mason was not talking about Andrew when he at the start of this segment.
Oh, so no.
Connect
God,
those
no.
dots.
Did people actually think I said that?
I did. Well, I mean, we're coming off it, and yeah, you just weren't. You weren't talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just was not. I was not, because I think he's the brightest baseball
executive. We're talking about somebody else who might get fired. It's not
yes.
Andrew. Yeah.
Yeah. The one piece of news that came out of that, which I was happy to hear, is that Kenley Jansen will pitch for the Dodgers this year. That's good news. The other thing that struck me is something he said. I asked him about large sample sizes and how they try to take an edge that evens out over the course of a season. And he said something interesting. He said, we go all in during games. We're looking for edges during games, like taking a guy who hasn't had an at-bat in 2 weeks and stick him into the lineup because you see that as a good matchup against that starting pitcher. They take those sorts of leaps during games, and it's not necessarily just a season-long looking for edges.
That doesn't surprise me. He won in Tampa when he had no payroll. So it the fact that he is literally changing on the fly during games doesn't shock me, because when you're in Tampa and you have no payroll, that's the only way you can win.
Got to do it. Exactly. Got to do it.
And so he's just, now that he does have money and does have a payroll and does have the resources, you see the results. Eight division titles in a row.
Sounds like rotation is not set. Kershaw, Buehler, and high upside Julio Urias. Then he mentioned Dustin May, Ross Stripling, who he says always puts himself in the position to be in the rotation, and Alex Wood along with Tony Gonsolin. So he mentioned all of the potential starting pitchers. He did not sort of tip his hand on the three young guys who are on the roster so far: Edwin Rios, Gavin Lux, and who am I missing? Will Smith. Didn't really tip his hand on how those guys are progressing or what roles he sees for them this year.
And I think a lot of it depends on, you know, let's use Gavin Lux for an example, who's going to play tonight. They're very high on Gavin Lux. They've refused to include him in any trade because they think he's going to be a star. The question with Lux is he ready to do that now? Is he
right.
ready to be an everyday player now? And that was interesting when I asked him, If a young player like that struggles, do you sit him or do you leave him in? And I thought he was going to say sit him, and he didn't. He goes, it depends who it is. He goes, sometimes you pat him on the back and say, keep going. Other times you think they need a blow, you take him out.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think he's going to look at everything on a case-by-case basis and go from there. I also found he was candid about the DH. I didn't think about that. The Dodger pitchers, they don't really have a Madison Bumgarner.
No,
I guess
not.
The best hitting pitcher would probably be Kershaw.
Yeah, yeah.
But even he's not a good hitter. And if you think about all the bats they have on the bench, the Dodgers may benefit from the universal DH more than any other team, because every game you got somebody sitting over there that you wish was in the lineup, whether
yep.
it be Kike Hernandez or Chris
or
Taylor.
Chris Taylor or Jock Peterson or AJ
right.
Pollock.
Well,
or
Jock could be a huge success at DH, or you could put him in left field.
Yeah, I think Jock and AJ Pollock would make sense in a platoon situation in left field, although the Dodgers never stick with a straight platoon. They are always juggling stuff. By the way, don't sleep on this guy, Edwin Rios, who last year hit 31 bombs at OKC and came up and had a good successful audition last year. Left-handed hitter, power hitter. I think he's going to figure in prominently at the DH spot too.
And with 30 players on the roster, they're going to have some real options late in games.
Yep.
And, you know, with a universal DH, you don't need to necessarily worry about the pitcher spot in the lineup. So they Now, is the rule in existence that a pitcher has to pitch to at least three batters? Are they going to?
Rule did go into effect.
Okay, so that I was going to say, you know, you may see a lot of pitching changes, but at least that will keep teams from changing pitchers every batter.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, the universal DH, National League Baseball is really a thing of the past. And I don't get the impression from reading people like Jim Bowden that the DH, that the NL is going to get rid of the DH, that it's probably just here for good.
And then, you know, the other thing Andrew talked about, which was interesting, was Dodger Stadium with no fans.
Yeah.
So Dodger Stadium is very rarely empty. You know, they draw, they lead the league in attendance almost every year.
Almost 4 million fans last year.
Yeah, so I wonder if they'll be affected by having no fans almost more than any other team, because the fans are so much a part of that home experience. Only time will tell, but, you know, for a while there, it's going to be...
I don't know. Me and Greg Bergman are going to be out in the parking lot honking our horns.
Yeah, they're... you guys are idiots. Go sit in your car for 7 hours. You deserve it. And by the way, that isn't even a thing yet. I don't even know if they're going to welcome you.
It's not a thing yet.
Yeah,
part of the movement, John. There's a movement on.
Yeah, you two morons are
movement
good leaders of that
people,
movement.
Of the people.
People who want to sit in their cars for 7 hours and stand
and
in line.
And be part of a communal experience.
Yeah,
share a Dodger game like in the old days.
Share a porta potty is what you're going to be sharing. How can you share a Dodger game when you can't get out of your car? It makes no sense. Yeah, but have fun. I hope you and Bergman have a wonderful time.
It's coming. Right. If we can't get fans in there for October the 23rd, 24th, when Houston comes to town, I think we should absolutely do it.
We should
honk like hell every time the Astros step to the plate.
Let me correct you. They're
September.
They're coming to town on the same weekend that the Rams play the Cowboys. It's September 12th and 13th.
Okay, so September 12th, I'm going to be in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium, honking my horn at the Astros, and then September 13th, I'll be at opening night at SoFi Stadium.
Or if there's no Rams game, you can go to both Dodger games. If football doesn't start on time.
That's true.
Speaking of football, the Philadelphia Eagles have issued a statement. Here's part of it. They say, today, we have penalized DeSean Jackson for conduct detrimental to the team. He accepted these consequences and apologized. In our many conversations with him, it has also been made clear that this is only the beginning. We've discussed a concrete plan for how we can heal moving forward. He understands that in order to remain on the team, he must also commit to supporting his words with actions.
Yeah.
Now people are reacting to what the Eagles did. You know, our friend Matthew Berry has been very outspoken about this. He feels like DeSean has not really faced the music on this, particularly from the NFL fraternity. And Matthew quotes a line from the Eagles statement. The Philadelphia Eagles do not tolerate hate towards any individual or group. And as Matthew points out, except in this one case where we, in fact, are tolerating it. Why wasn't it in the statement? Why was it generic? Why has it taken almost a week? I think there are going to be some people that by slapping DeSean on the wrist and not suspending him for actual games, not taking him off of the field, are going to feel the punishment doesn't fit the crime. What do you think?
You know, I actually think the punishment does fit the crime. You know, and this is not the first statement the Eagles have made, right? Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles made statements almost immediately, and DeSean Jackson has apologized multiple times now. I take DeSean this way. He didn't know any better. Didn't know any better. Probably doesn't know any Jewish people. Probably doesn't know the history of the Jewish people. And didn't realize that what he was saying was a completely anti-Semitic, hateful anti-Semitic trope. But I'm not willing to cancel the guy.
I think there's a middle ground. I would have suspended him for the first two games. I think that if you do that, you're saying there's consequences for anybody who talks like this. You don't have to go full Donald Sterling. You don't have to cancel him. But you're not going to be able to say that about any race, religion, or creed and not miss games. I would have kneecapped him two games.
Yeah, I think that he is going to get... I just happened to see this story. DeSean Jackson taking steps to learn more about the history of anti-Semitism. Adam Schefter says Jackson met with a group opposed to anti-Semitism on Thursday, met a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor. I mean, he's doing the things that you need to do after you say something like he said. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that he is going to get an education on issues of the Jewish people and anti-Semitism.
Okay. Also, one other story just broke while we've been sitting here talking. The Pac-12 has announced that Pac-12 football, they're the second Power Five conference to do this, is eliminating all non-conference games because of safety concerns due to COVID-19, which means Mace, USC Alabama opener canceled.
Canceled, yeah.
It also means that instead of playing 12 games, most of these teams are, if they play,
we're going to play nine.
Nine or ten.
Yep.
Yeah. Depending on how they can rework things. And I'm told that the Pac-12 announced that any player who elects not to play this conference only schedule will not lose his scholarship, which I think is important and significant.
That is.
But so now we've got, who was it yesterday? The Big Ten. And now we've got the Pac-12. I'm guessing that next we're going to get the Big 12.
And then the Southeast.
Southeast won't do it. Southeast is going to.
Correct. And I still think there will be games between the Southeast and the ACC.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Because the South is its own thing. Although, I think I saw Bumani Jones today say, high school football in Texas is canceled.
The governor came out and said he does not see, or not the governor, the commissioner of high school athletics. And I worked in Texas for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the show.
Yeah, high school sports there. So to put it into perspective, I used to do a Friday night high school football report.
Right.
We would do a 60 share. A Super Bowl that does a 40. All right.
Wow.
We would do a 60 for our high school football report. High school football is everything in Texas, but the commissioner for high school athletics down there said he doesn't see a vehicle or a scenario where they could play.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, the trickiness, the NFL has got great resources to do testing and to do research and to deal with epidemiologists and doctors. College football, a little less, a little decentralized. High school, they can't. I mean, the average high school cannot afford to test its players every 2 days.
No, nor could they. Now, keep in mind what a high school player does. He plays in a football game on a Thursday or Friday night, and then the next day he goes and walks the hallways with all the other students.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just no way to contain it.
Yep.
Now, then, on the college level, a lot of these courses are online, but that's still a concern for colleges. Are these college players going to walk into a classroom on Friday after a Thursday night game? It's something to think about.
All right. Coming up next for you, the outspoken Kendrick Perkins will join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, the bubble. The Lakers are in the bubble right now. I think all teams have now arrived. There are some individual players who aren't there yet. I know Kawhi isn't there yet, and Nikola Jokic isn't there yet. There are some guys that have yet to get into the bubble, but for the most part, they are there.
No Russell Westbrook or James Harden yet.
Oh, there you go. Rajon Rondo showed us his room yesterday, comparing it to a Motel 6. Seems like a nice room. By the way, nothing wrong with a Motel 6.
I was actually thinking when I saw the picture, because we talked about it, and I'm like, what Motel 6 is he going to? Because Motel 6s do not look like that. That looks like a nice place.
Here's something else what was weird about that. The Lakers flew in the afternoon yesterday.
Yep.
Rondo posted that picture during the day. I'm not even sure it's of his room.
You think that he would
take a picture of a room. Well, the timing doesn't add up. Figure it out. Like, he posted it early in the day, but they flew in the afternoon.
So that may not even be his room.
Yeah, I mean, I unless he went down there early on his own and he's meeting him there, I guess that's possible.
And then J.R. Smith. God, J.R. Smith.
Can't wait to have him.
J.R. Smith.
Love him. J.R. Swish to you.
Funch, J.R. did a little Instagram live feed yesterday. Do you have a little bit of that?
Yes, I do.
Hit it.
Hey, they ain't giving me no blanket, bruh. They ain't give me no blanket, though. Bruh. They got no blanket.
So he has an NBA blanket. You've watched this video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got this little NBA blanket. He's like, LeBron's not going to have this blanket. Roll on, Funch.
Oh, 5 to 2 a.m. daily? Okay. Lobster bisque? Okay. New York strip steak? Ooh. Braised beef short ribs? Damn.
Such a
gem.
What
else we got? Shrimp and grits? With me.
By the way, that menu sounds really good.
Yeah,
to me.
That's not what we were looking at when guys sent pictures of their food. We weren't looking at New York strips and shrimp and rice.
They weren't the Lakers.
Shrimp and
Say maybe they have a specific Lakers menu. How do you think that would go
that's
over?
That's what
maybe
I'm talking about.
He got in trouble for Instagram Live because the Lakers are getting like the royal treatment, and other guys are like, "What the hell is this?" Maybe that's what's going on.
Creme brulee.
But he was complaining about the snacks, though.
Oh, do you have that?
Yeah, I do.
Some of these dudes, 30, 40, 50 million a year. You want this to eat this? But then be over there crying, talking about somebody can't stay healthy and their body breaking down and all this other shit. Just saying, bro. I'm just saying, you want a Ferrari to run like a Ferrari because you paid for it as a Ferrari, but you keep gassing it up with a Chrysler. That's just me, though. That's whatever, man. Y'all do what y'all want to do. I'm just happy to be back, baby. Just happy to be back, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, those snacks, man. You got a Ferrari. You want to put the good gas in the Ferrari.
You know, in our business, JR's the best.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's like constant content.
Creme brulee.
Although I guess probably after that particular rant, somebody got to him.
Even think we've heard all the rant.
Yeah, Funch, do you have the part where somebody gets to him and tells him he's got to be knock it off? All right, here we go.
Eat Lunchables, Mikey. You're fruit by the foot and like I'm 15 like you. Oh, man. They mad at me, bro. I'm gone. Just got the text. Exposing too much. Gotta go. My bad.
He sounds so distraught.
Well, I mean, he's been on the team 10 minutes and is being scolded on text by somebody in the organization.
I think he was pumped to be doing an Instagram Live to the fans, sharing all the secrets.
But, well,
like,
Mace, this is what you talk about all the time. All these guys, like, you always talk about promoting your personal brand. JR was just promoting his personal brand.
JR wins, man. JR wins. Well, who is everybody talking about today? It's JR. If you want to build a brand, give us a little sneak peek into the bubble. Show us what it's like in there.
But it sounds like somebody popped his bubble. Sounds like we're not getting any more stuff from JR tonight.
Sounds like he's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
Where's the one? There's one where he says something about life in the bubble. Do you have that, Funch?
No, I don't. But I have one when he talks about having a his and her sink in his room.
Let's do that one.
Okay. They give you a motherfucking his and hers. But they don't let nobody else come, though. Give you his and hers sink. Who else come to the sink?
Yeah, what do you need a his and hers? You're not allowed to bring a hers.
I always like it when I get a room with two sinks, even if I'm the only one in it. I don't know why. I don't need two sinks. I just like it. It's a nice little perk.
Two sinks is stupid.
But, I mean, it's in there.
Who needs two sinks?
You don't, but it's you know, it's fun to have.
Do you and Lisa have two sinks?
Yes.
It's very bougie. It's very bougie to have two sinks. I got one sink.
We have
one sink in one bathroom, one sink in the other bathroom. I don't need the bougie double sink.
I have double sinks in two of my bathrooms.
Oh, God, the Ireland estate is something else. You've got two bougie double sink bathrooms.
Towel warmer? You got a towel warmer?
My God, no.
I got one.
You have a towel warmer?
Hell yeah, it's great.
We live in California.
I know, it gets a little chilly at night.
It's unbelievable. You've got every single creature comfort in the world.
Trying to think of what else I have.
Including a chair that you sink into and gives you a massage.
That chair has come in very handy during COVID because I probably couldn't be as active physically every day if I didn't have that chair. Like,
now, you told me you were going to get me a free one of them.
No, I told you I got a free one of them, but the guy doesn't run the company anymore. I got a good deal for Trudell right before the guy gave it up.
So now I have to go buy my own fancy massage chair on my own?
Can't help you.
And you got
and
it for free.
And I can't even get you a deal on a Theragun. You know, I paid full price for
my
Theragun.
I have the low-end Theragun.
Did you buy a Hypervolt?
No, I bought the one. It hits really hard.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like the Theragun brand. I've got
I have the first generation Theragun, which sounds like a nail gun. It's super loud.
Yep.
The new one is super quiet.
Yeah.
So if I use mine like early in the morning when I'm going to play golf, if I fire my Theragun up, I wake up not only my house but the whole neighborhood.
Oh yeah. So I've got generic Theragun. I've got massage gun.
It's fine. You That's still have totally a Shiatsu fine. Massager somewhere in your house, right?
Shiatsu massager?
You lie on top of it, it basically, it's an impact massager. It's like a Theragun, but you lie on top of it.
No. Who do you think I am?
I've got a lay down on it massage thing? I have one, and I thought you were the one who told me about it.
No, I don't have a lay on massage thing.
Do you have a vibrating roller?
No, I don't have a vibrating roller.
Oh, that thing's great. From Hyper Ice. You got to get that thing, man.
What are you doing with all this stuff?
It allows me to get to, you know, go hard every day. Stay active every day. I don't get sore.
Wow. No, I've got like...
With me at my age, man, it's staying ahead of the sore.
I've got like four sets of dumbbells, a yoga mat. That's it. No wonder you're doing so much better than me.
Yeah, man. Hey,
I'm falling apart during this quarantine.
Taking care of my body is the temple. You know, man. You know me. It's like an Adonis.
No, seriously, I am falling. I'm literally falling apart. Literally, I am. I need some life. I drove to Target today and sat in the parking lot.
Just why?
Sat in the parking lot.
Did you go inside?
No. There was a line to get in.
Oh,
and
my
I wasn't
going
to wait in the line. But I'm like, all right, I want to go out today. I went
that
to Starbucks
like
and I went to Target.
Thing to do.
Yeah, it's random. It's random. Tomorrow, we're going to drive by the new stadium.
I drive by it every day when I go like down the 105 or go up the 110. It looks like it's done.
Yeah. Well, it would have been... Yeah, we would have been 2 weeks away from the Taylor Swift concert.
That's
Taylor
it?
Taylor Swift was going to
That was
open
coming
it,
in 2 weeks?
July 26th, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well, Mace, 26
and 27.
I say this literally and figuratively. Shake it off.
My Guns N' Roses concert is not going to happen either.
Mm.
I had tickets to Taylor Swift and Guns N' Roses. Canceled. Meanwhile, you've got a Shiatsu laydown thing and a chair and
life
a
is
vibrating
we can't
roller.
We can't have nice things anymore. It's ridiculous.
You've got we can't have them because you have them all.
Well, come on over. You can borrow them.
Yeah, you've got all the nice things.
Exactly.
Nice thing market cornered. All right. So that actually worked out okay. We were gonna talk to Kendrick Perkins there, but that flopped. I want to ask you something about Carmelo Anthony.
Can't
sent
wait.
Out a tweet this week that Lindsay got all... She got herself so worked up today during our pre-show call.
Carmelo Anthony got her worked up?
Yeah, got her all wound up.
He's barely in the league. Why are you letting him,
get to you? I can't wait to hear it because this is news to me, too.
All wound up.
All right.
Lindsay, all wound up. Next, 710 ESPN. Ireland, Lindsay got unbelievably worked up today. unbelievably worked up.
Over what specifically? By the way, before you answer that, Gavin Lux, it has now been reported Dave Roberts is going to sit him tonight, not going to play Gavin Lux.
Got it.
He's there, and he's fine. They just want to give him a couple of days, so he's not playing tonight.
Lindsay is part of this. You shouldn't have to change the name of the Cleveland franchise. She thinks it should still be Indians.
No. Mason, you get completely, you twist
Wait
and
a minute,
turn
did we
things.
Or did we not have this conversation where you thought, why should they have to change their name?
If you would let me speak, then you would hear exactly what I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, I listened before, producer, I'll listen again.
Me being a producer, it's my job when we're going over topics and things to try and take you down a path that could lead to a reaction.
I was trying
way too hard, apparently, to get you to see this other perspective people have.
We can get to the bottom of this with one answer from you. Do you want the Indians to change their name?
Do I want them to? I don't really care either way.
You really don't care?
My point is that my whole point was that where do you draw the line? Because in 2020, I completely
understand. It's actually a really good question.
No,
if you change the Indians, do you change the Braves?
Right.
Do you change the Blackhawks?
And now we get to
Chiefs.
Now we get to Carmelo Anthony's tweet. We are not equal until all of our communities are equal in support of our Native American communities. The use of mascot names need to end now. Redskins, Warriors, Braves, Indians, Chiefs, Blackhawks,
Warriors.
Eliminate all Native mascots.
And that's where we kind of got off the chute a little, because you probably didn't even know the Warriors, their original two mascots, the first iteration of their mascots looked exactly like
I had
Wahoo.
No idea. John, you probably knew that, right?
I didn't. I did not know that the Warriors' nickname was Indians related. That's what you're telling me?
I didn't until today. But it is. Their first mascot and their second mascot look an awful lot like the old Chief Wahoo from the
40s. But they've gotten rid of all that stuff.
Sure they did, but the Indians also got rid of their mascot. They got rid of Chief Wahoo. They no longer sell it and carry it in the team shop. They only have the Block C. That's their primary logo. So if the Indians have to change it because it's the origin of the name is offensive or it's a racial stereotype,
well,
then
Indians
why
don't call,
shouldn't
they
the
call
Warriors?
Themselves Native Americans?
Right, but again, the argument is that, well, they named them that to honor them. At the
that's
time,
whose
it was
argument?
Culturally,
that's your argument?
No, that's what the team name, they said that they did it to honor Native Americans. And at the time, that word was culturally appropriate. And my point is that I completely 1,000% agree with changing the Redskins' name, because Redskin is literally a term that refers to scalping somebody and the blood on their head being red.
Sure, sure.
That's completely offensive. It's always
But I think what we, you know, you said where we draw the line, and it's the question that we're all dealing with right now, and of whether it's monuments or it's team nicknames, it's where you draw the line. And culturally, things do change. Culturally, we progress. Culturally, things become different. I mean, I talked to you before the show. You used to hear people say, oh, that's so gay. Well, you don't say that anymore. It's not cool. Not cool by me. Not cool by LGBTQ community. Things change. Things become inappropriate at some point in the future when a disenfranchised minority decides to speak up. So, yeah, you draw the line based on where we are right now today.
I think if that's the case, there's plenty of other arguments to be made, you know, based on Carmelo Anthony's tweet. Why don't you get rid of all the other ones that somebody somewhere can find offensive?
Right. And that's the question Lindsay asked is the right one. Where do you draw the line? For example, San Diego State Aztecs, Florida State Seminoles.
Well, you heard Adrian Garcia, we had him on this week, said he believes that San Diego State Aztecs honors the Mexican people.
So why can't I say that about the Warriors? Why can't I say that about the Blackhawks? Why can't I say that about the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, right now, Carmelo Anthony is the one person I know who's calling legitimately for a change to Chiefs and Warriors and Braves.
I'm sure if you look into it, there's a lot of people that feel that way.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. Are you worked up about Warriors, Braves, Chiefs, and Blackhawks? Those are the other nicknames that are in debate. Now, somebody called in earlier this week when, Linz, you were off, and said, if the names are honorific, which is a great word, and it's stuck in my head, if the names are honorific, meant to honor, the Chiefs.
Yeah, but that's a load of crap, because that's the line that Dan Snyder has been using about the Redskins. We use Redskins to
But that's
honor.
Literally the color of skin.
Okay, but what about
Chiefs?
Chiefs
are a thing. There are Native American okay. Chiefs.
What about Warriors?
Well, I just don't know that to be a Native American thing.
Right.
It hasn't been used.
So
it hasn't been used as a Native American thing for how long?
That's where it came from.
But Ireland doesn't even remember it.
Not only do I not remember it, I never knew it.
Well, it is. It's true. It's real. It's not made up. They changed it, and you forgot about it. So that's just like, you know, the Indians were probably hoping to phase out Chief Wahoo, and that, you know, 20 years from now or whatever it may be, people would be like, oh, well, the Indians isn't offensive because they got rid of that mascot. And that's exactly how people look at the Warriors, not when they realize that they actually came from the Native American.
See, I think because it's not been used in a Native American capacity in a long time, so much so that John, who's the biggest NBA fan I know, doesn't realize that's where the nickname came from, and he grew up
never
here in California.
Did.
So wait, here's a question.
Never did.
When they changed the name, or when they changed the logo, I'm sorry, which was in 1972, it looks like.
That's past the... What do they call that? Past the statute of limitations.
So
they changed it in
is,
1972.
They changed it at one point because I'm assuming they probably thought it was offensive. Somebody somewhere said, this isn't right. And that's around the same time when the Indians started to change their logo. So I'm guessing that's where that originated from. I could be wrong. But if they changed the logo at that point because it was not appropriate anymore based on the times.
But that was 1972.
Right, that's
but there's
my point.
So why did they change the name? What you guys are doing, it opens up a whole big can of worms. Great tweet.
Well, we're in the can of worms business,
go ahead and help open it.
Okay,
so DJ Kid B tweets us. So do we ban the Flintstones theme song because it says gay old time?
Remember, no, because that is an actual expression.
No, not same thing.
That's an old school impression. Hey, we had a gay old time is something that people said at a certain point in history, having nothing to do with gay, with LGBTQ.
Yeah, but I'm just saying everybody can get offended by something. Who gets to be the arbiter of what's offensive?
The person who is being offended.
So if someone is offended, if someone in the Indian community is offended by Chiefs, they got to change it.
If a plurality, if there's a movement, if there's a collection of people that believe it's offensive, I would assume they're going to. So far, the only two that Native Americans seem to be pushing are Indians and Redskins.
Here's Ted from Fullerton, whose dad is a Native American. Hey, Ted, you're on 710 ESPN. Good, man. All right, so
that would make him a Native American, right, Ted?
He's a 10th Native American, so I don't know how much
so
that makes me Native American.
Okay. So
but yeah, he doesn't find it offensive at all.
Does he find Redskins offensive?
That he does, yes.
But
Indians, Chiefs, he doesn't find those names being offensive at all because there's no logo signifying it either. But then he said, well, what about Cowboys? I find Cowboys offensive.
Now, why is Cowboy offensive?
Because Cowboys and Indians, you know, and Indians, what happens to them?
Do you think the great cowboy uprising is going to happen? Unionized cowboys, we want that nickname changed? I mean, that's cowboys.
I doubt that, but I would say that's what he's saying. You know,
but it's a good
Cowboys and Indians, they're always fighting against each other.
It's a good point. Tom Landry, the old Cowboys coach, used to do an ad for American Express.
Okay.
And remember, American Express's old line was, don't leave home without it.
Correct.
And it was, you know, each commercial would be like, you may find yourself in a situation where they don't, where you need to pay for something or you have an emergency. That's why you need the American Express card. It's accepted in over 200 countries and it'll get you out of trouble. And Landry, there's a shot of Landry and he says, especially when you're surrounded by Redskins and a circle of Indians is like menacingly looking
sure.
at him.
That's offensive by today's standards.
You couldn't air that today, right?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody just tweeted me and said, what about Vikings? Who's going to stand up for the Vikings?
I mentioned that one earlier,
well,
too.
Mace, because I'm Irish, could I say Celtics is offensive?
Yep, because their caricature is a guy who is his fists up like he wants to fight you, like an angry Irish guy, right? So you could find offense in that.
They might say Cowboys because they're white supremacists, you know, because of, Indians that are
they would kill all the Indians. Yeah, so this is what Lindsay's – thanks, Ted, for the phone call. This is why Lindsay's original question is a good one. If you change Indians,
right,
where does it stop? Here's George from L.A. Hey, George, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, George.
So my comment is more to – my comment, you know, is more based on why do you ask the question as to where you draw the line? Why don't you just – Each thing you view it individually. You don't have to make it a big deal about, oh, if we do this, then we got to do that. No, not necessarily. You do it one at a time. Each thing has its own owner, its own fan base. It's in a different part of the country. I mean, ask that question. Stop making it a big deal. Like, oh, well, if we change this, then we're gonna have to change that and that. Like, not necessarily. You know, not everything is done all at one time.
But
I mean,
that's exactly what's happening. There's no question.
No, it's not. There's only two of these are happening. Indians and Redskins. They're the only two.
This has been going on for years.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Hey, George, if we left it up to you, would you change the name of the Indians?
Not only would I change it, I would apologize for having had that name to begin with. I mean, a lot of this, we all talked about, like, I've heard, you know, multiple outlets talk about it for years, decades.
We lost him. Yeah.
Good call. But he is right. He is right. You got to deal with it.
And apologize too.
You got to deal with it one instance at a time, right? I mean, I've not heard great outcry over Warriors. In fact, Carmelo Anthony is the one that told me that it had something to do with Native Americans.
I just want the I want to make the Celtics change their name just because they're the Celtics and I hate them. So it would just be a hassle for them.
Now,
Irishman, I am offended by the term Celtics.
Wait, are you Irish, John?
No. Could you tell?
I was going to say, is an Irish person offended by the Fighting Irish?
Not stepdad Leo, who is a huge Notre Dame fan, has that
Leo
little Fighting Irishman on
all
everything.
All of them, right? Because I'm more Irish. Not offended by the Indians.
I'm more Irish than Leo, and I'm with him on this.
Is there a movement to change the Notre Dame Fighting Irish nickname?
But Leo and I are going to start a movement to change the name of the Celtics. That two people constitutes a movement, Mace.
Yeah. Because I think ultimately that's when there's a critical mass, that's when something needs to change. Like, for example, Confederate statues, we reached a critical mass. In light of the George Floyd murder and the Breonna Taylor killing and the Ahmaud Arbery killing.
It was just time.
It was to have statues that are dedicated to traitors to America who lost the war is just ridiculous and absurd. And it's a time, it's the time that this should come. And where do you draw the line? Somebody will say, well, what about Washington? What about Jefferson? You can only take this one thing at a time. You can only take it one thing at a time.
Sure, as radio hosts, though, this is things that we do. We speculate and we talk and we have these conversations about these things.
What do you think we've been doing for the last 10 minutes?
My point is that guy that just called got so mad and said,
all we're doing is speculating.
Right, and he basically called us out for doing that. That's what we do. That's most of our job. I would say 90% of our job is probably speculating something.
Deal in facts myself.
What facts? Hey, are we doing Radio Tinder?
Yes.
All right, next.
You think, what do you think, Lindsay?
I think that we can talk about it when we go to break.
Okay. We'll talk about doing Radio Tinder when we go to break. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay's getting very, very chippy today, which I love.
People having a conversation. That's what we do, you know?
Yep, that's what we do. Linz, it's to you.
All right, so an elaborate KFC recipe has been dubbed the ultimate hangover cure.
Ooh.
I don't know how interested in this you guys will be, but the fried chicken fast food chain released a video of a Kentucky Fried Brekkie to get fans excited on Instagram, but the treat won't be served in restaurants and requires some self-assembly. So here's what the sandwich is. Instead of bread, you take two KFC Zinger fillets, which I don't eat KFC. I think those are like the spicy chicken fillets.
Yep.
And you spread onto the fillets smashed avocado or guacamole.
Okay.
You add six cherry tomatoes, two pieces of bacon, and KFC's supercharger sauce.
Okay.
I don't know why it's being dubbed the hangover cure, but people are creating this in their own kitchens and sharing it all over social media.
Okay.
Would you guys ever try a Kentucky Fried brekkie?
Swipe right. When I'm hungover, I'm looking for grease. And that sounds like a sandwich filled with grease. Sign me up.
That's what probably got... I'm swiping left. That's what probably got you into you, when are you going to realize you're not 25 and the reason that you weigh 200 pounds is because you keep doing this crap?
I'm not... I'm never going to realize that I'm not 25.
So you're going to just keep gaining weight until you drop...
Yeah, so far. Now, Kentucky Fried Chicken is unbelievably underrated. I have no idea if they're a sponsor or not. But, man, a bucket of chicken, that super crispy chicken is so friggin' good. That's like crack. I would totally dig on that sandwich.
People spend their whole lives trying to come up with that exact recipe.
Yes.
There's a whole internet culture surrounding it. So, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, swipe left. I'm out.
All right, so next one, Tiffany Haddish, the actress, she is rocking a new hairdo. After having her hair in locks for approximately 2 months, the actress and comedian decided it was time to do the big chop, and she shared the process with her more than 6 million Instagram followers on Tuesday.
Wow.
She, like I said, she posted the video, and she wrote as the caption, "Cut my hair. I cut off all my hair because I wanted to see my scalp. I know my whole body. I know where every mole is, but I don't know my scalp. So hello, scalp." So whether it's a woman, a man, whatever, how do you guys feel about just shaving your head one day out of nowhere for no reason?
Okay, so in 2011, when my wife got diagnosed with breast cancer, she found out she's going to lose all her hair. So as an offer of solidarity, I offered to shave my head.
Really?
I did. And she looked at me and she goes, she looked at me and she goes, "You and I both know that that would be a terrible look for both of us." So in essence, she let me off the hook. But I'm like, Mason, you can't shave your head because you have great hair.
Yeah.
If I shave my head, I mean, half my hair is pretty much gone anyway. But I don't think I'll ever do it. Lindsay, have you ever had short hair?
I had short hair all growing up. It wasn't like super, super short, but it was pretty short. My grandma would cut it and my mom would freak out and get so mad every time. But that's how I always wore my hair. So I don't think I would ever have short hair again.
So, I want to take this a little bit different direction. So Tiffany Haddish, who's, I think, one of the funniest women alive right now. She's so great. You know, the way you engage with your fans is that you let it all hang out. And I'm looking at this picture right now. I'm like, yeah, good for her. She's out there doing it. She's sharing it with her fans. She's engaging the people that follow her. She's picking up new followers. Good for her. I say, you know, let your freak flag fly.
John, I wanted to ask you, is there something in like your contract or anything, like when you did TV, did they require you to keep a certain hairstyle?
No, we had a clothing allowance, so they could, and basically the reason they gave you clothing allowance was so if you ever wore anything really crazy, that they could say no, that we don't want you to wear that. But I will say this, Lindsay, that I used to, particularly as a TV guy in San Diego, I sometimes would sit up in the reception area and listen to the complaints, the phone calls. And I know this still goes on today. 90% of the complaints about the male reporters were about content, about something they said or did. And 90% of the complaints about women were
their looks,
appearance, hairstyle, mostly hairstyle, clothes, stuff like that. It's just it's a very weird double standard that exists in TV news. And if you go to most markets, you'll see older men, younger women. Like, the best example of that is Phoenix. If you ever go watch the news in Phoenix, every channel is a guy who looks like, Lindsay, for you, it would be a guy who looks like your grandfather and a woman who looks like your younger sister. It's super weird, but it's that way at almost every station.
It's like Jeff Phelps will never have to worry about losing his job if, you know, he didn't get his Botox on time or something like that. Whereas
right.
you've got the young 28-year-old woman who's aging out of her job. So
yeah, it's sexism.
It's
you said it, Lindsay. Aging out of the, I mean, unfortunately, and this is just wrong. But culturally, this is an area where we got to get ourselves together. It's unfair that a woman ages out of her job. That's just not fair.
It happens a lot in Hollywood.
Job and
yeah.
they don't.
Happens a lot in Hollywood too, where you'll see an older male lead with a younger female.
Oh
lead.
Yeah, yeah.
And the men get praised, like, "Oh, that guy's a legend. He's been around forever." Whereas, like, the woman, they would never say, "Oh, 100%. She's a legend.
She's still around."
Forever. Yeah,
yeah, no
exactly.
Point.
They'll be like, "Oh, why aren't they getting rid of her yet?"
Yeah, 100% true. He's a legend. That is very true.
All right, there you have your Radio Tinder coming up next. All the headlines, the scoop, everything that we haven't talked about yet, that's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.